a loaf of bread. Seems simple, right? But this year has shown us that a strong supply chain is more important than ever. It starts right here. Show up, no.
Thank you to our sponsor for this morning's breakfast, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, and we will work on ironing out the technical difficulties. Good morning, everybody. This is Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. I am so excited to see everyone, and I'm very excited to introduce my co-MC for this morning's breakfast, first vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Felicia Martin. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, everybody. So good to be here.
What did you think of last night, Felicia?
Ooh, I'm just trying to contain myself. It was so awesome. I should have my tissue box on hand because last night was such an emotional ride with Senator Kamala Harris accepting the nomination. Her speech was so poignant and so on point. She bust a couple of no's, but very elegantly last night. And then to hear from President Obama, what a moment for us and the stories that were woven through both of those speeches and then to culminate with him. Oh my gosh, what an awesome 3 days we've had of convention. So clear, so poignant. To hear the up close and personal stories in a way we couldn't have done in a live setting. Something about the intimacy of Zoom, if we could ever imagine that, having that, making it more like those folks were sitting in my living room with me, telling me and sharing their hearts, their stories of their loved ones and the adversities that each of them have had to overcome. Man, that was awesome. And it just hit me just in that sweet spot where it lets me know I still have my humanity intact, although I'm involved in this political thing. I'm still a human being and I still have my feelings and compassion are intact. And that was a good check for last night.
It was hard to go to sleep last night, at least in my case, because I'm so excited about what I've just seen at the convention. And I want to thank one of our speakers we'll talk about more soon was a speaker. Well, we had several speakers today who were on national television in primetime last night. And I'm really excited to hear from them this morning. But just being able to kind of experience that. And then I want to make sure everyone knows for our delegates, there's a post convention kind of delegate gathering where people debrief. Make sure you join that tonight as we wrap up this week. It just really feels special. And I feel like somehow, even the fact that we're all virtual with each other, we're seeing more of each other than we would have if we were in a gigantic thronged crowd and everyone's trying to figure out how to get back to their hotel or what have you. Who knew? Who knew that the virtual convention would be such a special experience and safe at the same time?
Safe, yes. Isn't that great that we have wonderful leadership that thought about our personal safety. Put that first. Love it.
Well, we have an amazing lineup today, and I will turn it over to you, First Vice Chair Martin, to introduce our first guest speaker.
Thank you, Chair Wickler. This morning, it's my distinct pleasure to introduce to you many people. Some may know him, but others may not. The Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson. I know I had my first exposure to him during our state convention, Wisconsin State Convention, and seeing his virtual introduction to Outagamie County was awesome, I tell you. Tom Nelson is currently, again, serving his third term as the Outagamie County County Executive, of which he oversees 23 departments, including an award-winning long-term care facility. I got to talk to you about that one. A model criminal justice treatment service program and one of the fastest growing international airports here in our nation, actually, not only just Wisconsin. I wasn't aware of that. Before his position as county executive, Tom served three terms in our Wisconsin State Assembly from 2005 to 2011, including one term as majority leader. Well accomplished career here. He takes special interest in economic development and labor issues, in particular those in the pulp and paper industries, which we know that his area is known for our paper mills. Tom played a role in helping to restart a shuttered paper mill in 2017, which will be the subject of his forthcoming book, everybody. You're on notice, releasing in January 2021. When he's not legislating, governing, or campaigning, he enjoys cooking, reading, and spending time with his family. His wife, Maria, children, Mary and George, and Lucy, a Yorkshire Terrier. The Nelsons reside in Appleton. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. It's good to be here, everyone. Thank you for including me in this morning's program. I think this convention has been a huge success. From Michelle Obama's pitch-perfect keynote to Kristen Urquiza's devastating testimonial about her father succumbing to COVID, the nationwide roll call led off by our very own Jason Ray, my personal idol, President Obama's incredible speech, and one more, Bernie Sanders' trademark stemwinder. It's been a lot of fun. But for us, there has been some disappointment. This was to be our moment to introduce our state, not just to the country, but to the world, to show the world our passion, the Brewers, the Packers, Bucks, cheese, brats, beer, and cheese spread, to reveal our contributions in the fight against COVID, crucial biomedical research at the UW, and face masks and surgical gowns made here in the Paper Valley. It was also meant to tell our story, the first state to pass the 19th Amendment, the nation's first public sector collective bargaining law, and the birth of the progressive movement. Our time will come again, but for now we'll have to settle with Google searches and Wikipedia. Tonight, we hear from our party's nominee, the man who will lead our country out of its darkest hours, Vice President Joe Biden. Tonight, unlike in years past, we won't have the confetti. Yep. Let go. The streamers, the energy of the crowd, like the 22-minute ovation when Robert F. Kennedy stepped to the podium at the 64 convention. So my message this morning is simple. After the streamers are swept up, the balloons popped, and flags furled, the work begins. And that, my friends and fellow Democrats, is the most important part. We know, we all know how difficult it is to unseat an incumbent, and it's not going to be easy. The 2020 election is going to come down to the battleground states, and our state is ground zero. I don't have to tell delegates Jill Swenson or Marcia Steele or Katie Van Zeelen or Justice Peach or any other delegate from Northeast Wisconsin that we represent the battleground of the battleground state. They know how hard it is to win here, and I can vouch for them. When I first ran for a seat in the assembly, I knocked on 22,000 doors. No exaggeration. It was a slog, but it paid off. Likewise, it wasn't easy getting elected and reelected twice as executive of a red county. But I'm here to say, and I'm here to remind everyone, that it can be done. Conventions are the fun part. I was ecstatic when Senator Sanders selected me as a PLEO delegate. This is my first convention after 26 years of working for our party. Campaigns are the hard part. They're about knocking on one more door. They're about finding a spot for one more yard sign. They're about another night of call banking, and they're about one more click on an Act Blue link. In short, it's about making a sacrifice. I don't have to tell anyone what's at stake, as President Obama clearly made the case for last night. About this time 2 years ago, and 2 years before that, and still 2 years before that, and so on, I said, and I quote, "This is the most important election of your lifetime." But I really mean it now. This election is not just about closing the book on a dark chapter in American politics. It's about securing a better future for America's children, like my daughter. So, let's get to work. Thank you. Oh yeah, hold on. Go, Joe.
Thank you so much, Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, for joining us this morning, and for and to your daughter.
Thank you.
I am honored to introduce our next speaker, our State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. Treasurer Godlewski is Wisconsin's 36th State Treasurer and serves as the state's Chief Financial Officer. Her bold vision for the office is to foster financial security and sustainability for all Wisconsinites while protecting our tax dollars, tackling issues such as retirement and college affordability. Prior to serving, she was the co-founder of a multi-million dollar socially responsible investment firm called Masa Partners that invests in early stage businesses. She was a founding member of WE Capital Fund, which empowers female entrepreneurs through financing opportunities, work that was nationally recognized for achieving positive impact without sacrificing sound financial returns. And beyond investing, Treasurer Godlewski worked at the Pentagon for almost a decade and helped save taxpayers tens of millions of dollars while also working to create a performance-based budget for local government. She's a big proponent of financial literacy, supported initiatives along those lines as an adjunct professor. She started her financial career supporting micro-lending initiatives in rural India, where she saw firsthand how access to capital can positively transform entire communities. Wisconsinites, let's give a warm welcome to State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski.
Well, thanks, Ben. It is so great to be here with all of you this morning. In fact, we're just wrapping up breakfast in my household. I'm drinking my cup of Joe this morning from my favorite Wisconsin mug. And Hartley was finishing up his bottle and he wanted to show you all his new favorite onesie. You want to show them, Hartley? It says Babies for Biden. So he is all in for Joe and Kamala. In fact, he's been watching the convention with me. And so he wanted to, we made a sign last night, didn't we, Hartley? Because we wanted to show the Wisconsin delegation what we think about convention, right? Are you ready for this? So we made a sign that says, are you ready, Hartley? Are you ready, bud? Well, he's kind of ready. It says, my first convention is for my future. Vote Biden Harris. So with that, you know, as a new mom, I've been thinking a lot about the future and a lot about the next generation. And when we look at the White House and their complete mismanagement of the COVID crisis, our economy is in shambles. We're seeing record-breaking unemployment, and innocent moms, dads, sons, and daughters are dying of this awful virus. And in thinking about what I was going to talk about today, it's hard to really figure out where to focus because we're in constant chaos with this administration. I mean, you look earlier this week, the Postmaster General was trying to dismantle the United States Postal Service. And then you look in another corner of the administration and the Environmental Protection Agency is being led by a former coal lobbyist who is literally destroying the environment for the next generation. That's not what I want for my children. That's not what I want for my future. So I thought I'd keep it simple this morning and do a top five list and why I am all in for Joe and Kamala and why they are the best selection for our future. So we're gonna do this David Letterman style. So I hope you're ready for this. We're gonna count down. So number five, experience matters. Last time I checked, 50 years was more than 3 years. Joe has been a public servant for 50 years, starting at a county member, then actually working his way up to the Senate and eventually vice president. Well, Kamala, as the Attorney General of California, she managed one of the largest justice entities in the entire world. They're going to be ready to serve our country on day one. Number four. Got science? Joe and Kamala actually believe in science. What a concept. When they're in the White House, they're going to welcome scientists rather than banish them. Think about it today. If Donald Trump would have actually listened to Dr. Fauci, we would probably be in a very, very different situation. Number three. Healthcare, healthcare, and can I say it again? Healthcare. We've seen firsthand in the middle of this pandemic how important healthcare is. And Joe said it best. Obamacare is a BFD. And rather than spending countless hours trying to destroy it, Joe and Kamala are going to work to protect it and to expand it because hardworking Americans deserve quality, affordable care. Number two, they'll fight for Main Street, not Wall Street. As state treasurer, I can tell you, we need a president who's gonna fight for the economic security of all Americans, not just corporations and special interests. Joe and Kamala, they come from Main Street. Well, Donald Trump, he comes from Wall Street. And I will tell you, the fact that he puts special interests above people has to stop. And number one, it's Joe and it's Kamala. And you might be wondering, well, what exactly does that mean, Sarah? Well, after I was elected, my mom said to me, Sarah, good elected officials, they do more listening and less talking. God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. Do more listening. And that's exactly what Joe and Kamala have been doing. They listen to our concerns. They listen to our fears. They listen to what keeps us up at night. And they really try to understand what are the policies that hardworking Americans need. And that's what's missing from the White House. It's listening. It's empathy. And it's those skills that we need now more than ever to move our country forward and build back better. So I'm going to end with this, 75. That's how many days we have until the election. And I think about 2016 and in August and where we were. I mean, we were in a similar place. The polls looked to be to our advantage. People seemed to be listening to our messages, and we got complacent. And there is simply no room for us to take anything, anybody, or any person for granted. So Wisconsin, we know the road to the White House runs through our state. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, register voters, and together we can move our country forward. Thanks, Wisconsin. Say bye, Hartley. Say bye.
Hi, Hartley. Thank you, Sarah. We really appreciate you. Thanks, Felicia. Just like State Treasurer Godlewski said, we can't take anything for granted. We can't leave any stone unturned. We have to beat the bushes for every single vote. And I always say we have to run a race like we're 20 points down so that we can send a clarion decisive victory on November 3rd. This morning, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce our next guest. I have known him for quite some time now. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is a Milwaukee native, born in this city in one of our poorest and one of the nation's most incarcerated zip code. If you've ever heard him speak, you've always heard him mention 53206. It is one of the most depressing area in our city here in Milwaukee. But there was something about Mandela that was different. He comes from a middle-class union household, and there were opportunities afforded to him. And he did not let those opportunities go to waste. He seized every moment that he could. At age 25, he became an elected official to our state assembly, where he emerged as a champion for criminal justice reform, for our economy, and for healthcare. I know we've been hearing a lot about healthcare, so we know that is going to be one of our top items as we move forward through this election cycle. He became the chair of our state legislature's Black and Latino caucuses in his first term. And he became a national leader at the age of 25 on gun violence prevention. And he was recognized as one of the top pro-growth progressive leaders in our country. Mandela has always been a fighter. He used to be a community organizer here in Milwaukee with the interfaith group MICA, which is where I first, or at least I thought I had first came in contact with him. I'm just going to tell a little quick thing here about Mandela and my connection. I met Mandela, I think, back in 2009, not realizing I already knew who he was. Here in Milwaukee is a large city, but it's a small city, and the notion of 6 degrees of separation is always on blast in Milwaukee. I knew Mandela through his mom by way of a mutual friend. And I told my husband, that kid looks so familiar to me, not knowing that his mom was in my circle of friends. And so it was so exciting. It gives me so much pleasure to see him continue to rise higher and higher in his goals and taking advantage of every opportunity that is afforded to him. Mandela serves as Wisconsin's 45th Lieutenant Governor. And he is the first African-American to serve as Lieutenant Governor in the state of Wisconsin. And he is the youngest Lieutenant Governor in the country and the second African-American to ever hold a statewide office. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor Barnes.
Good morning, Felicia. How you doing? It's really good to see you. It's good to see everybody. I got to make an addendum to that bio. I realized recently that I had the distinction of serving as the youngest Democrat elected statewide. So it's truly an honor for me to serve in that position. I never say that to brag. I say that because there's so many young people who are stepping up into leadership and so many people who are trying to find their way, asking a whole bunch of questions. And I want that to be encouragement to them to get involved in the political process, because we need that energy. We need their ideas and we need their enthusiasm to take this nation forward. So I just want to say once again, good morning, everybody. So excited and honored to be here. You know, I know the governor's around here somewhere. I can only imagine what he may be having for breakfast. I don't know what that could be. But as we know, it's been a few exciting days of events here at the DNC, albeit virtual. And this is not what we envisioned a year ago. You know, I'm proud of what we've been able to, you know, speak to. And I'm proud that we've been able to speak directly to people across the country like never before. It's sort of made for a more intimate gathering. You saw passionate speeches like Barack Obama's last night, which almost drove himself to tears. If you could see, he was very emotional in the delivery, because that is how urgent the moment is. And it's a very special honor, like I said, to have this going on right here in Milwaukee. And I was so proud and honored to be able to deliver the roll call, to talk about the challenge, but also talk about the opportunities that lie in cities like Milwaukee. Because there's so much joy, potential, and resilience that exists in communities like the one that I grew up in, and communities all across the nation that have been underserved. But the truth is, this goes on for too long because people take communities for granted. People don't respond to the needs and the crises that we face, just like Donald Trump hasn't responded to COVID-19, hasn't responded to the climate crisis, hasn't responded to anything. There's not an issue that we can say that the president has been effective on. And so I think about touring all 57 states and the territories during that roll call. You saw the diversity of this nation. You saw the diversity of our party, but you also saw that urgent call to action. And I recognize that the door to opportunity is wide open, because when we see opportunities within our challenges, that gives us a chance to move forward like never before. And so, again, I'm so proud of all the work that everyone here has done so that Milwaukee can serve as the anchor for convention. In about 75 days, we know that we have to work hard. We have to work like hell until the last ballot is counted, because I know that I'm ready to elect Joe Biden as the next president, because we've experienced firsthand the recklessness and the incompetence of the current administration, especially with, again, the multiple crises that we continue to face. But here in Milwaukee, we've experienced some of the harshest impacts of this pandemic, especially our communities of color. And in every part of our state, people are out of work. People are struggling, and the president pays them no mind. Just showing up for a campaign visit, that's not enough. That doesn't address the concerns of our rural communities. That doesn't address the concerns of the family farmers who are going, and the family farms that are going bankrupt at an alarming rate. That doesn't do anything for the people who are unemployed and struggling, don't know where their next check is going to come from, don't know how they're going to pay rent or the mortgage. Just this past week, Wisconsin passed a 1,000 person death toll. This is not the time for the president's political games. He's called the pandemic a hoax. He's politicized every aspect of the crisis, even wear masks. And when he spoke in person, he showed up to a place that is experiencing high COVID-19 activity. And instead of working to solve any of these problems, he doesn't mind putting people's lives at risk in a desperate attempt at his own reelection. They themselves are willing to die for their own reelection. And worse off, they're willing to let other people die for their own reelection. And communities continue to pay the price. Hardworking people continue to pay the price, and that's not sustainable. We need a leader who's gonna fight for working people, one who's gonna work to expand the middle class, and one who's going to work to expand opportunity in every corner of this nation, in every corner of this state, because we need partners in the federal government so that Governor Evers can move forward with his bold and ambitious agenda to push Wisconsin boldly into the future. And you know, I hate to talk about the president so much, but there are so many things that like do not sit well with me. It shouldn't sit well with anybody. He's continued to fan the flames of hate, whether it's, not calling out racist, violent actors in Charlottesville, whether it's keeping kids in cages, and the list goes on and on. But people have had enough. People are rising up. People are demanding justice. More importantly, people are fighting back. People are finding their voices. And people are organizing. And in the midst of the calls for justice and equity that we've seen in every part of our state in this country, we see a real opportunity to overcome the past failures and become a much better nation, a nation where all working people can join a union and earn $15 an hour, where quality healthcare is accessible and affordable and not tied to your employment, where immigrant families can stay together, where we have clean air to breathe and fresh air, where we have clean air to breathe and fresh water, fresh clean water to drink, and a state and a nation where we work diligently to dismantle the systems that have kept so many people behind, whether you're a person of color, whether you're a woman, a person with disabilities, or a person who's not originally from this country. But in order to achieve that, in order for us to channel Wisconsin's progressive heritage, the state that was the first to ratify the 19th Amendment, the state that was the first to declare the Fugitive Slave Act unconstitutional, the birthplace of the labor and progressive movement, we have to unite all across Wisconsin. And like I said back in 2018, it is going to take us uniting all shades of blue to make it happen. Going out into every community, reaching voters in every way possible, in the safest way possible. We know that this is possible. We know that a better future can happen when we elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Only then we'll be able to bring kindness, compassion, and decency back to the White House. We can't afford another 4 years of this madness, but we also can't afford to go back to the status quo. So again, we're going to fight like hell to bring the change that we so desperately need in this country, the partnership that we so desperately need in this state. I am wearing everything Milwaukee because, you know, I'm still a little bit bummed that convention is not here in person, but I want to make sure anybody who's watching is going to be able to see Milwaukee on almost anything I wear. This is the city that raised me. It's the city where I was born. Love it to death. Wish you all could be here to join us from across the nation, but I'm here with the Wisconsin delegation today. I love you. I thank you for all the hard work that you're doing. And now I want to introduce my good friend and our governor, Tony Evers. Holy mackerel, everybody.
Thanks, Mandela. And I'm trying to see, you're wearing the Brewers, right, today?
Yeah.
Today's the Brewers Day. They won last night.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So, good morning again, Wisconsin delegates. I'm really glad to be back with you for this virtual breakfast. Actually, I saw many of you last night after the event. And, you know, Mandela may have mentioned it, because this is breakfast. Don't think I've forgotten the Egg McMuffin. It's right here. There we go. Egg McMuffin. Anyway, unfortunately, I am bummed, too, that we were unable to do the convention in Milwaukee. It was really, really unfortunate, but I have to say that the right decision was made, and the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and the National Party has done an outstanding job to make Plan B work. And I know that takes a lot of effort, but it's working, and it's working real well. So I want to say thank you to all you for staying safer at home, and practicing social distancing and wearing a mask. I know that's a trouble. That last piece is really troubling for Scott Walker and Donald Trump, but it's easy for us. So I know for some of us, it's been a long time since we've seen our family and friends, and it's been tough. Kathy and I empathize with everybody affected by this virus. We just celebrated our 48th year of marriage last week. And we talked about how this year, this 48th year, has been such a struggle, just because it's been so unusual to do what we're doing. But it's really important. And what sooner or later, we have to get everybody wearing a freaking mask. And the sooner we can build America back, the better. So last night, I had a chance to address the convention. It was exciting and thrilling for me. And holy mackerel, I believe that we're going to elect Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to lead our country. Joe is an extraordinarily good man, and I can tell you personal stories about him, but I bet many of you can too, but he's faced unreal, unbelievable personal strategy and turned that into empathy for everybody in our country. And obviously, his historic selection of the great Kamala Harris will provide an inspiration for a generation of young women to lead our country. Not only will Joe and Kamala build back better, they're going to provide the White House with something sorely lacking, such as honesty, kindness, and compassion. So what I've learned from leading our state is one of the most important things to do is listen to folks. And people from all walks of life deserve to have the ears of our leaders. It's not just about the people who can afford a $250,000 membership into Mar-a-Lago. I can hardly say that without getting ill. I don't want to spend all my time this morning bashing Donald Trump, but a lot of our problems we've seen in response to the coronavirus are his. He's been inconsistent about everything. He's denied that it's an issue. He denied that it's, he claimed it's a hoax. Once he kind of figured out that the vast majority of people don't believe him, then of course it was his inconsistency around masks and just creating uncertainty and building unnecessary barriers when people want to wear them. And the other thing that could have been done immediately, and I think every one of the 50 governors would agree with me. The federal government had said, we're going to take care of this protective equipment and testing, and the rest is up to the governors. We would have ended this thing several months ago. But he didn't. He passed it off to the governors. He failed us by doing that because now, and we continue to do it to this day. We're competing with the other 49 governors for equipment and testing supplies. That is absolutely absurd. So one of the many reasons Joe Biden must become president. Later this morning, you're going to hear from my good friend, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, and that woman from Michigan, as Donald Trump says. And it's been a joy having her as a neighbor and having her as the next door neighbor governor. Gretchen is a tireless advocate for her state and a constant thorn in the side of Donald Trump. Both of us ran on the same principles and values that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are running on. And both of us were prepared to lead our states to take those late night phone calls and set those future defining policies to turn back disastrous decisions of our predecessors. But no one could have prepared us for COVID-19. She can tell you just as well as I can, to this day, the state of Wisconsin is bidding against the state of Michigan and other 48 states for supplies and equipment. It's ridiculous failure of the White House to use their power of the federal government to defeat the virus. And it's because our president is absurd, foolish. I'm done talking about Donald Trump, believe me. Our chair, Ben Wickler, and I have been working on a project together, and I just want to take a few minutes to talk about it. Ben's raised millions of dollars, brought eyes to Wisconsin, and since the beginning of this year, he and I have been working together on a program called Save the Veto. I've been raising money for myself and my reelection on hold. Bottom line is we must protect my veto for a whole bunch of reasons. You're going to hear next from Chairman Eric Holder. He's going to tell you about the fight for fair maps across this country. Here in Wisconsin, in case anybody forgot, we have some of the most gerrymandered maps in all of America. And that's what this year's election is all about for me, and I think for you also. Sure, it's about defeating the Trumpster and making sure his brand of nonsense comes nowhere near the White House again. And I know Joe is going to win in November, but it's also about the maps. In our state assembly and our state senate, we are just 3 votes away from Republican supermajority. Let's put it bluntly, that's not good, folks. There's a whole lot that I still want to get done, and I know you agree with me. After the census is completed next spring, we'll have a chance to redraw the legislative maps, the chance to define what Wisconsin looks like for the next 10 years. So I want Wisconsin to look something that better reflects our values and our hope and our kindness and empathy and respect. We can restore civility to Madison if we get a legislature that actually reflects Wisconsin. Think about it. 70% of the people and up want Medicaid expansion. 70% of the people and up on different MU and Marquette University polls want, absolutely agree with us on the issue of fair maps and marijuana. If Republicans win supermajorities in the state Senate and the state assembly, our good friend Robin Voss will draw maps that are worse than they are now. And I promise you, I'll veto those maps, but I'll bet Robin Voss calls his chamber into session seconds after I veto it. And he will override that veto and we'll have 10 more years of what we have now. We can't have that. So we've raised millions of dollars in this effort to protect our vulnerable incumbents and to fight in competitive seats to elect more Democrats to the legislature. The maps we draw next year will define our ability for a decade. That's a long time to get things done. We want student debt relief. We want Medicaid expansion. We want to end police brutality. We want every kid in the state to have the best education around. Better infrastructure, infrastructure that works for a greener future. I know these are things people across the state need and want. I hear from them every single day. It's simple. Common sense solutions to problems that plague our state. And the maps are going to determine what progress we can take. It is important, paramount, that we elect Joe Biden. It is just as important that we have a better state legislature so that here in Wisconsin, we can do better for the people. I'm excited for the state legislature to have people like Brad Paff, Francesca Hong, Deb Andreka, Chris Marion, Paul Piotrowski. They are going to be great legislators. Let's do everything we can to help them and so many other great candidates for office in Wisconsin. Coming up next, we're going to hear from former Attorney General and National Democratic Redistricting Committee Chairman Eric Holder. Before Ben introduces him, I want to personally thank Eric for the work that his group is doing here in Wisconsin. His faith in our voters and his tireless work here in our state helped me get elected. And this year, they're here fighting again. He can tell you more about that work, but this is a man who recognizes the battle for fair maps starts in our state legislators. And he's put money where his mouth is. So thanks everybody for listening to me today. This is going to be a great wrap up to a convention. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of today's programming. Thanks, everybody. Back to you, Ben.
Thank you so much, Governor Evers. And I am thrilled to hand it over to First Vice Chair Felicia Martin to introduce Attorney General Holder.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Governor Evers. I want to say thank you to you for your leadership and leading with your values. It is my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce Eric Holder, our former U.S. Attorney General. He will always be my attorney general until we get a better dude in there, or gal. Eric Holder, as Governor Evers has mentioned, is the chairman for our National Democratic Redistricting Committee. If you can, please support this redistricting committee because our very lives depend on it. He's also a recognized international leader on a broad range of legal issues and staunch advocacy for human rights. I'm not going to go into any further because he is going to speak to us on a very important issue. Attorney General Eric Holder. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody in Wisconsin. I wish we were all together, but I think we did the right thing by making a determination that we're going to do this virtually. And I got to say, looking at those first three nights, this has been an extraordinarily well-run and I think compelling convention. I just want to begin by saying a word about Vice President Joe Biden. I had the privilege of serving with him in the cabinet, and I knew him long before we both joined the Obama administration. I sat with him in the Situation Room as we would discuss matters of national security, and I worked alongside him during some incredibly turbulent times for the country. And when you spend that much time with somebody And under those circumstances, I think you learn a lot about the person. And here's the secret, or maybe it's not a secret, about Joe Biden. He's exactly who he seems to be. He's a good and decent guy, you know, with a big heart and a commitment to this country. He listens to good ideas. He acts in the best interests of America. We've heard about, and we know that he's faced extraordinary tragedy and loss, but he's really never lost sight of himself or his fundamental belief in the American people. So I respect him. I admire him. I trust his judgment. And I have no doubt that with Kamala Harris, an outstanding partner, a teammate and a person who's also a personal friend of mine, I think they're going to lead us now into better places. But one thing I think that Joe knows and that I understand as well is that, you know, the task before this country is going to be not going to be solved by any one person. I mean, Stacey Abrams, I think, said it pretty well a couple of nights ago. She said that we don't elect saviors and that while electing a new president is essential, that's also not enough. You know, if we're going to build back better, we're going to require comprehensive and coordinated efforts of everybody in this country, public servants all around the country, people like you all, to make sure that this country gets back on track. And as we prepare for elections that are going to determine how new districts are drawn next year, critical, this is critical, the redistricting of next year, we need to make sure the Democrats have a seat at the table. Now, we've already seen what happens when the other party takes all of the chairs. I don't have to explain to all of you in Wisconsin, you know, what gerrymandering has done to your state. Over the past decade, we have seen Democrats win more states, win more votes for your state legislature, but fail to gain majorities simply because of the way the lines were drawn. You know, it's ridiculous. There's questions to who's the most gerrymandered state, Wisconsin or North Carolina. Well, we've won some victories in North Carolina, and I think that unfortunately, you now have the title as most gerrymandered state in the country. We've watched as Robin Voss has done the bidding of the Koch brothers and the NRA while refusing to lift a finger to help working families and doesn't suffer any electoral consequence because of gerrymandering. And I'm never going to forget his behavior during the primary earlier this spring. You know, during the early days of that pandemic, he refused to work with Governor Evers on ensuring people could stay healthy while voting. And those iconic pictures of people in Wisconsin in long lines trying to cast a ballot in the middle of a pandemic is a testament to the failure of leadership on the part of Republicans in your state. I mean, he had the gall to wear, you know, full PPE to a polling place and declare that it was perfectly safe for people to vote. This is the kind of politics that gerrymandering has created in Wisconsin. You know, one set of rules for Republicans and their allies and another set of rules for everyone else. So, you know, the presidential election this year is critically important. This is an existential presidential election. I get that. But so are the races happening down the ballot in Wisconsin as well, and around the country as well. We've got to focus on those down ballot races. On a day-to-day basis, our lives are really more impacted by state legislators, by governors, than we are by the person who's the president of the United States. So an important existential presidential election, but we got to focus down ballot. As chairman of the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, I've spent nearly 4 years fighting back in state and local elections, in Congress, and in court. You know, we started this project with President Obama after we left office to make sure that we didn't lose sight of the important redistricting process, the census, and the state and local elections that are going to determine whether Democrats again can have a seat at the table and whether President Biden and Vice President Harris can have the agenda that they need to enact the reforms that the American people deserve. You know, the fact is that what has happened in Wisconsin is happening in states around the country. Republicans are the party that want to restrict mail-in ballots. They want to challenge non-existent voter fraud to manipulate the census. They want to stand behind a president, you know, who's suggested just recently that the election be canceled entirely, or I guess a couple of days ago he talked about having a do-over, I guess, if the results were not in his favor. These are the kinds of things that the Republican Party stands for. It's clear that, you know, more than any one candidate or policy, what is at stake in this election is our democracy itself. Now, that sounds a little hyperbolic, but I think that's really true. Our democracy is on the ballot come this November. So, you know, we have to take a step back and look at what Trump is doing with the Postal Service. He openly admitted, just came right out and said it, that he's undermining a cherished institution because he thinks it's going to help him win in November. the lesson there is that he will always do first and foremost what he believes in his own self-interest, and too many people in his party have that same attitude. Doesn't care about veterans or seniors who receive their prescriptions in the mail, small businesses that need the Postal Service to keep their businesses afloat during the pandemic, or the rural Americans who need it as a link to friends and family. This is an assault on our democracy, and this is why the NDRC has invested so much in Wisconsin over the past few years. It's why I've spent so much time with all of you in Wisconsin fighting to elect Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky to the state Supreme Court, fighting to elect Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes, two great public servants, doing everything we can to flip seats on a state legislative map that is, I think, the most gerrymandered in the country. It's why I endorsed and financially supported legislative candidates last week and helped with what I've heard was a very successful virtual fundraiser. We have to make sure that we protect Tony's veto. There's a whole lot that's on the line this November. And I'm not sure that we can withstand another 4 years of Donald Trump or another decade, as the governor said, of Republican gerrymandering. Now, this may sound scary, but the truth is that, what I feel now isn't necessarily fear. What I feel is hope. This is a moment of hope, because over the next few months, all of us participating in this conversation and millions of other people in Wisconsin and across the country have an opportunity to chart a new course. We have a chance to fight for fair redistricting next year. We don't need to gerrymander for Democrats. We just need to have the process be fair. Democrats will do fine if the rules are fair. We have to win more seats in your legislature. We have a chance to shore up the institutions of our democracy so that they protect our most vulnerable communities instead of serving just the wealthy and the well-connected. And we have a chance to elect candidates who will establish meaningful reforms in order to strengthen our most sacred right. And that's the right to cast a ballot, the right to vote, so that Americans can finally claim an election system that counts every vote and makes every vote count. These are accomplishments that people across this country have sought to win, for generations. I think we have the ability to achieve every single one of them. I mean, imagine just for an instant, what that would mean if we seize this opportunity, if we're successful, if we meet this moment. We could see a wave of change that would sweep through your great state and through this nation. We could improve access to healthcare. We could protect the environment. We could stand up for working families and safeguard civil rights. We could have sane gun laws. We could build a better country, a stronger democracy, and that more perfect union that we talk so much about. And we could feel finally that, that anxiety that we all feel, we all carried with us for the last 4 years, that would start to melt away. Now, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that we're successful in November. My team at the NDRC and I, we're doing our part in critical races at the state level across the country and in Wisconsin in particular. But the truth is, it's not up to me. This election is ultimately about we, the people, you on this call. What it's up to us. What kind of country are we going to build? And while the last 4 years have tested the institutions of our democracy and the patience of our people, whether this nation will endure, whether our system will endure, depends on all of us. And that's what this election, I think, requires all of us. It's up to each of us to exercise the full measure of our citizenship, the responsibilities that we all have. I think we have the capacity for great change, but we also have the responsibility to make sure that change happens. So it's up to every one of us to stand up and to speak out, to donate, to make calls, to get out the vote, to cast a ballot that echoes with the voices of all those who have fought to make its promise real. And if we do these things, if we channel all the strength of all those who came before us, and if we recognize our obligation to all those who are going to follow us, I have no doubt that we'll make our democracy better and we'll make this nation more fair and more just. Now, I don't want to put too much pressure on you, Wisconsin, but like has been said, the road to the presidency runs through Wisconsin, the electoral map. If you look at it, Wisconsin is a critical state. The fate of the United States, the fate of the Western world is on your shoulders, but not too much pressure, not too much pressure. If Joe Biden carries Wisconsin, it's gonna be incredibly hard for Trump to win re-election. So not too much pressure, but the task is enormous one, but it is something that I think that you all up to the job. The people of Wisconsin, I think, are ready and willing to fight for our democracy, ready for a change in leadership, ready to fight for a better more inclusive future. So I couldn't be more grateful to be a partner in this work, and I'm excited about everything that we're going to be able to achieve. Thank you again for all that you all are doing and that you will do over the years in months ahead. You know, Dr. King said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. But it doesn't bend on its own. It only bends when people like you put their hands on that arc and pull it towards justice. And so each of you needs to ask yourselves, what is it you can do between now and November the 3rd to pull that arc towards justice? What are you going to do to make this country more fair and more just? We have the capacity for the kind of change that we need. It is the responsibility of all of us to make that change occur. I look forward to working with you in this fight that will be successful. We're going to have a better America. Let's go out there and let's win. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Attorney General Holder. And Attorney General Holder has been an extraordinary friend and partner with the Badger State and the Democratic Party of Wisconsin specifically. We're so grateful. We are in a convention week time crunch. We have two extraordinary speakers who are both teed up to speak. I know one has a very hard out. So I want to thank Governor Gretchen Whitmer for holding on for one moment to accommodate. But I'm so excited to have you speak next after United States Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the first woman speaker, a history maker, a fighter for the people, has led, represented California's 12th for 31 years, is the reason why we have an Affordable Care Act that was passed and not repealed. We are so grateful for your leadership. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm honored to be with you and the Wisconsin Democratic Party the morning after a remarkable, remarkable few days of the morning after President Obama's incredible, historic presentation about the values of our country. And those values are what I hear in these presentations this morning. I am going to be listening to Governor Whitmer, because I'm a big fan of her. We were so proud of her presentation, the response to the State of the Union. It wasn't a response, though. It was an assertion of our values and how we are there for America's working families. Any invitation from you, Mr. Chairman, then is one I cannot resist, because I know of your work for very closely, as you know, when you were with Move On. And so when you left us to raise a family and raise a party in Wisconsin, we knew that was good news for the country as well as for the party. And Felicia, Madam Vice Chair, wonderful to be with you this morning. Thank you for your leadership too. The two of you, no pressure. It's all riding on Wisconsin, no pressure. But how wonderful to be with the governor. Governor Evers, appreciated your comments to the convention. Greatly appreciate your leadership of Wisconsin. We have great confidence in you. And Lieutenant Governor, I've been a fan of his for a while, but I saw him at the People for young leaders, new young leaders. And it was remarkable. He was dazzling there, and he has been dazzling all along, and was greatly moved by his comments this morning as well. Eric Holder, he's like the linchpin for all of us, whether it's about giving me guidance on the voting issue, the vote by mail issue, and what we need to do about the postal system, while he's thinking ahead on the redistricting, which he is leading with such just brilliance, and again, having the confidence of President Obama and all of that. I'm so glad that you were able to hear directly from him what he is doing. I have to mention the mayor of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett. I'm just a fan of his from when we served together in the Congress. What a progressive. It was just so encouraging to me when I came as a new member to just see somebody speak out so boldly for America's working families. But isn't that the tradition of Milwaukee? Isn't that the tradition of Wisconsin? So I told Tom Perez, I said, Tom, we're not going for the convention, but can we go for a celebration to Milwaukee for a celebration after we win all of this in November, when we elect Biden president of the United States and the first woman of color, first woman, period, vice president, win the Senate and increase our numbers in the House and win state houses and local elections around the country. Can't we just all, let's make a plan to celebrate all of that in Wisconsin. But there's a lot to do between now and then. And you've heard it over and over again from your presenters. It's just, we can convince everyone, but unless we get out our vote, we're just having a conversation, not an effective political action. And that's why I'm so glad to be with you, Mr. Chairman, because I know you are an effective political activist. I do request some more recent pictures of the babies, okay? Because this is all about the future. It's all about the future. So our agenda last time when you helped us win for the people, we were going to have lower healthcare costs by lowering the cost of prescription drugs and broadening the affordability and the rest, so many more people would have healthcare. This year, the three most important issues are healthcare, healthcare, and healthcare. Again, jobs for the people. We're going to lift up paychecks by building the infrastructure of our country in a green way. And that means mobilizing our friends in labor and the environmental movement and faith-based movement and science and every aspect of people at the table to do that, to continue the work of Barack Obama and Joe Biden in that regard. And for the people, we would have cleaner government. John Lewis had in that bill, H.R. 1, his initiatives to end voter suppression. We have in there, we have we have it in two bills expand the Voting Rights Act. We have it in two bills constitutionally. We wanted to be safe and ironclad and to lower the role of big, dark, special interest in politics and make room for the people's interest to prevail. The third piece is essential to the first two, because we are never going to, unless we rid the pressure of special interest money, people won't have confidence that we can have access to quality, affordable healthcare for all. Unless we rid the influence of fossil fuel industry and others, people won't believe or have confidence that we can really have meet our climate goals. And unless we do that, we won't be able to have a gun violence prevention or even our background check, which is supported by like 90% of American people, except they don't necessarily vote that way. So we have to get our message out. So from a standpoint of mobilization, we have to own the ground. Ben knows how to do that. Felicia knows how to do that. And let me say who else knows how to do that. Gwen Moore knows how to do that. She's been our champion. When they challenged against women last night, wasn't it beautiful? But she does it every single day in the Congress. And when we talk about jobs and working families, Mark Pocan has been such a champion in the Congress as well. And on issues that relate to climate and healthcare and the rest, on the Ways and Means Committee, Ron Kind has been so great. So thank you for sending them to Congress. And we hope to, again, pick up another seat there. So you tell me, how are we doing in that regard? So that if we could just pick up another seat, we could ensure that we will increase our numbers in the Congress in a way that is. Let me say it this way, and the general will understand why I say this. Trunker's race is important to us because what we want to do is win so big, so deep, so broad that nobody will think about challenging our majority in the next election, which is the off-year election. So again, I'm thinking this year, I'm thinking next year. We're very proud of Tricia's courage to run and her enthusiasm for all of this. And I know with the drumbeat of enthusiasm in Wisconsin, everything will be coming up roses for the Democrats and for the country. And it's no use to go into saying how important this is. You know that. All of it happening during a pandemic that is threatening the the lives, the livelihood, and the life of our democracy. So thank you, Wisconsin, for the honor of sharing some thoughts with you this morning, recognizing your leadership, getting ready for our celebration party that we will have there. And again, Ben Wickler, whenever you call, I'm there. Thank you all so much. Onward to victory, great Democratic victory, starting in Wisconsin. You have nominated the next president of the United States. Congratulations.
Thank you, Speaker Pelosi. From all of our delegation, we are grateful that you're a leader who listens and who leads by lifting people up. That's what we need in our country. And we're so excited to do our part to help win you a trifecta government so that you can help usher in the next wave of amazing legislation to move our country forward. We're so grateful for your leadership. I'm grateful for your friendship and mentorship, and we're gonna win together. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you all. Honored to be with you. Thank you, Felicia.
I'm thrilled now to introduce our final speaker. You saw her give an extraordinary address to the National Convention. She is a champion in a time of extreme crisis, the global pandemic, a 500-year flooding event, the nationwide protests for racial justice after the death of George Floyd. Her work has saved thousands of lives in Michigan, and now she's rolling up her sleeves to send Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to the White House in our partner state, two of the blue wall states that will absolutely be rebuilt this fall. She'll be a crucial partner to the Biden administration and to the Congress as we work to build this country back. We're so proud to have her leading the state next door. We're ready to work so closely with her. Wisconsinites, I'm very pleased to introduce Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
All right, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be with you. And you know what? You can bump me anytime for Speaker Pelosi. I love listening to her. I was so proud when she spoke last night. I sat with my daughters on the couch and watched phenomenal speech after phenomenal speech. And I would much, much, much rather be in Wisconsin with everyone together for these breakfast meetings where we get everyone excited. But we're showing the world how smart we are. We're showing the world that we can conduct life in a safe way that is respectful for one another's safety and takes care of us and our families. And we can put together a heck of a convention in even unconventional circumstances. So I'm really proud of our party. I'm really proud to have been asked to occupy the stage for a few minutes. I'm proud of my good buddy, Tony Evers, who has become one of my very best friends. He and Tim Walz and JB Pritzker, we've got a, I don't know, maybe they don't want me to tell you this, but we have an ongoing stream on our text messaging where we have very thoughtful conversations and some kind of funny ones too. That's not for publication, but I am really grateful because in the vacuum of leadership in Washington, D.C., coming out of the White House, in the midst of this global pandemic, it's been the nation's governors that have stepped forward and led and kept our people safe, made tough decisions. None of this is easy, but made tough decisions that contributed to saving lives and minimizing the economic pain we're all feeling. But let's be very clear, that pain is a result of incompetence and petty leadership coming out of the White House that puts their ego and their political agendas ahead of our health, ahead of our jobs, ahead of our future. And that's precisely what this election's all about. Up and down our tickets, though, your governor and I have shared many stories with the legislatures that we have to work with or often are working to undermine what we're trying to accomplish. And I can tell you that these state legislative races are important. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know you get that. But this is about electing leadership at every level that can save people's lives just by understanding facts, understanding and respecting science. It's about leaders who will fight for American workers and work to expand affordable, quality healthcare. This is about leaders that will build a sustainable and equitable and just nation. There is so much at stake in this election, and I know Eric Holder and Speaker Pelosi have put a lot of pressure on your shoulders, but I know you can hack it too. I know the people of Wisconsin, just like Michiganders, who are tough, We're good people and we work hard. And by God, we expect our government to be just as hardworking and just as good as we are. And that's what's at stake here. So as Speaker Pelosi said, we can't just win this election. We got to win it decisively. Trump is already laying the groundwork to undermine the election through the U.S. Postal Service or through declarations like if he'll decide if it's fair or not. He'll make that judgment call and won't necessarily concede and embrace a loss. He's setting up the narrative for himself because he knows he's in trouble. But by the same token, it's this dangerous rhetoric that I think proves to us how important it is that we win seats from top to bottom of our ballots and that we win decisively. So, my friends from Wisconsin, keep up the phenomenal work. Grit your teeth, just like we're going to do here in Michigan, and let's rebuild the blue wall. We've got what it takes to win. We've got the candidates in Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to prove that we've got a plan that'll improve the quality of people's lives. But it's on all of us to make sure that the people in our states understand that, get their ballots as early as they can, fill them out, and get them in so every vote gets counted. So I truncated my remarks because I've got to jump to a call, but I just wanted to hang on so I could watch Nancy Pelosi and take part of this important caucus breakfast. Thank you, everybody, for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the support that you've given to Tony Evers. He's done a great job with incredibly tough circumstances. And Michigan stands with Wisconsin now and always.
Thank you so much, Governor Whitmer. We're so grateful for your leadership. As you demonstrate every moment, you have grace and strength under flexible and complicated crisis conditions. So thank you for bearing with us. Thanks for being amazing. And thanks for joining us today.
Like I said, you can bump me for Nancy Pelosi every day of the week if you want to. Bye, everybody.
What an amazing lineup of speakers this morning. Holy smokes. Just to review, we just heard from Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer. We just heard from the first and two-time woman speaker of the United States House, the most effective speaker in U.S. history, Nancy Pelosi. We heard from Attorney General Eric Holder. We heard from our fearless governor, Tony Evers, champion of Wisconsinites, fighter for healthcare, education, transportation, and a champion of science and actually taking this pandemic seriously and keeping Wisconsin safe rather than doing what special interests want. As he says, what's best for our kids is what's best for our state. I'm so glad that we had the wonderful governor who defeated America's worst governor, Scott Walker, and is here leading us today, and it here as part of our delegation, as our primetime speaker, and as our governor. We had our Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
Yes.
We had our State Treasurer, Sarah Godlewski. We had Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, and I'm so glad that you're co-emceeing with me today, Felicia Martin. We are significantly over time, but I want to ask folks to stay with us for two last things. One is a quick preview of an extraordinary final day of our convention. And the other, at the very end, we're going to replay the message from this morning's breakfast sponsor, which we hit some technical glitches this morning. So stay tuned for that after we recap the day ahead. So today is the final day of Campaign Academy 2020. This has been the I and the WISCO plan, inspire, recruit, train thousands of volunteers and future candidates and operatives throughout the convention. Today is the highlights day. If you've missed anything so far, you can come back and see the most amazing trainings from the week today because trainers are coming back for another round. It starts with our own executive director, Nellie Sires, leading the training Demystifying Campaigns. And she'll be joined by special guest, Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, to kick that off. Throughout the day, we will have Campaign Academy on finding volunteer opportunities on campaigns, a special session on distributed organizing teams and relational tactics, a principles of persuasion conversations, a digital organizing training, and a peer-to-peer texting conversation. Felicia, do you want to run through the Biden for President Wisconsin events coming up today?
Oh gosh, Ben, I would love to do that, and I'm sorry, but my schedule just went down.
All right, we've got the Wisconsin.
We're having internet problems all over.
This is, we're so close to the finish line, and we're just going to keep on running. At 11, there's the Wisconsin Black Faith Leader Roundtable. At noon, the Wisconsin Voter Protection Rally. At 1, the Wisconsin Black Youth Roundtable. And at 7, the Convention Pre-Program Wisconsin for Biden event. Tune into that. I am extremely excited about special guests that will be joining our Wisconsin pre-program event tonight. Also throughout the day, national councils and caucus meetings, including at 11, the Poverty Council and the LGBTQ Caucus. At noon, the Small Business Council. And from 3 to 5, the Native American Council for the entire DNC. Also at 7, competing with us in Wisconsin is the Pod Save America Live pre-program. That I know is something that you can tune into afterwards so that you can experience both our live Wisconsin program in real time and Pod Save America after. And don't miss Dress Rehearsal, a documentary 17-minute short about our spring election that will happen, be unveiled tonight and live online for all of eternity. And then finally, we get to our primetime speakers tonight. You can look forward to hearing from the Biden family, Senator Chris Coons, Senator Tammy Duckworth, Senator Tammy Baldwin, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, Mayor, former Mayor Pete Buttigieg, California Governor Gavin Newsom, United States Senator Cory Booker, who of course graced the Wisconsin breakfast before the national stage, and Vice President Joe Biden is going to speak tonight. Don't want to miss that. So this is quite a day. And then at the end of the day, for all our delegates, we're going to have our final gathering as a group to debrief what we just experienced. So I hope that everyone has lots of caffeine and snacks handy. I have my literal bag of popcorn here for all the proceedings today. And I think we're going to have an amazing day. Thanks so much to everybody for joining us, for rolling with the complexity. Go to wisdems.org/demconvention for the Campaign Academy trainings. Don't hesitate to post stuff online about stuff you see and hear and experience today, because we want to spread the magic from this convention far and wide. And we will close with a message from our sponsor of today's breakfast. So let's let that roll. And I can't wait to see everybody at the other events today. Thank you, everyone. This is our final breakfast coming to a close, dropping the virtual gavel. It's been so exciting to have these gatherings, and we're going to have just an amazing Thursday, final day of convention.
A loaf of bread seems simple, right? But this year has shown us that a strong supply chain is more important than ever. It starts right here. Wait, no. Actually, it starts here. With these folks, the 2.8 million workers who manufacture equipment across America. Workers who show up no matter what. Because the equipment they make feeds, builds, and powers our country. Like that tractor, which helps our farmers plant 45 million acres of wheat. And this crane, which helps keep the lights on in our grocery stores and homes. Not to mention all of the dozers, excavators, and pavers that build the roads and bridges connecting our country. It takes all of America's equipment manufacturers to keep our communities healthy and our economy strong. That's why we need our elected officials to support pro-manufacturing policies. Policies that invest in our nation's infrastructure, support free and fair access to global markets, and strengthen rural America. Find out how you can keep equipment manufacturers and our country strong. Visit aem.org/election to learn more.